Right, good evening everyone and welcome to the latest edition of Ipswich Borough Council's Executive. Do we have any apologies for absence?
Chair, I've received apologies from Councillors Ross and Phil Smart.
Oh, should have done this a bit first. Good evening. I'll start with a couple of housekeeping points. Please could you switch off all mobile phones or turn them to silent. Please also make sure that you both turn on and speak directly into the microphone when making your contributions, as this meeting is being recorded. And we'll now move on to the business on the agenda, starting with item two, the unconfirmed minutes of the previous meeting. Can we consider them a true record?
Agreed.
Thank you. Item three, I don't intend to vary the order of business. Item four, are there any declarations of interest? No interest. Item five, simple recycling, mixed recycling and residual waste options. So are we taking this one as Councillor Smart is working away? So by March next year, March 2026, we have to provide a weekly food waste, a glass and a cartons recycling service that we don't provide at the moment. The food collection was decided at a previous executive in February 24, and I believe the necessary bins and vehicles are have been ordered and will be with us shortly. The key points you can see are in section 2.6 and 2.7 of the report, which cover what the government guidance is, the new government guidance about separating paper and card from other recycling. So there is a better recycling stream, a twin stream in fact, as it's called. And we also see that the preferred recycling option of the Suffolk Waste Partnership is that we go with the twin stream option. We need to make a decision now, which is well in advance, a year ahead, so that the County Council can modify the materials recovery facility in good time. And also it's important that we get an order for new bins in, because every council in the country will be buying more bins at the moment. I'm sure there'll be a shortage. In section 2.11, you'll see the government guidance is that all households must have a reasonable residual waste collection. And certainly we have a fortnightly residual waste collection at the moment, and I would see us carrying on with that, although there are pros and cons to that. But we do have two decisions to make tonight, which are in section 4. One is to go ahead with a twin stream model, and the other one is to retain a two-weekly residual waste collection. I think the two-weekly is important to retain it because there is a lot of change happening in the waste area for residents. You know, we will be bringing in a food waste, weekly food waste collection in March 26, and we'll also be bringing in now a twin stream. So that'll be two recycling bins people will have. So I think there's a lot for people to get their head round. And I'd just like to move to those recommendations. I believe there are three questions, and perhaps we could take the three questions at once, Councillor Lockington.
Thank you, Chairman. Noting the following paragraph in the report this evening, if the chosen model is twin stream, then Executive is asked to recommend to Council the approval of an additionally 1.8 million to be added to the capital programme for 25-26 to make provision for the procurement of the additional bins required. Can I ask the portfolio holder for waste the following three questions? If this is a new request for capital, why wasn't it in the capital requested, not included in the budget in February this year? And I assume I can ask all three now and then. Yeah. And then, how much capital has the government made available for local authorities for the start-up cost? And my third question is, can we recycle redundant brown bins that residents are sending back to the council with, for example, putting different stickers on them, which explains what material can be placed in them?
Thank you for those questions, Councillor Lockington. For question one about the capital budget, a capital budget wasn't requested in this year's refresh of the medium-term financial plan, as there wasn't a known requirement at the time when the plan was produced. And again, only if executive tonight resolve to adopt a twin stream mixed recycling model, which is recommended, only then will there be a requirement for the 1.8 million of capital. In terms of the second question about government startup capital, there has been no capital funding made available for any changes to the mixed recycling service. However, as is set out in the report, the extended producer responsibility revenue grant will cover the setup costs. And in terms of recycling redundant brown bins, all those brown bins collected from households will be reused if they are in a serviceable condition. At the present time, it looks like there will be a requirement for about 4,000 brown bins to be collected from households. The remainder are being used by subscribers to the Garden Waste Service or are being retained by residents for other uses, such as the pay-as-you-go Garden Waste Service. These bins collected will be reused for the Garden Waste Service as bins for new subscribers or as stock for replacing damaged bins, and that will be over the next 4 or 5 years. 4 or 5 year supply. Thank you. Are there any other points? Lowest of hands. Councillor Fisher.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Couple of points to raise. So it does seem as though we're being pushed down a certain path here. And with the way the report's written, it looks like we're being pushed down this certain path because this is what the other councils in Suffolk have chosen. So maybe I'm going to ask how come they've seemed to have taken their decisions a lot earlier than us. Wouldn't it have been easier for us to make the decisions earlier? That's the first point. So there's a couple of bits that I don't quite understand in here. So at 2.37, it states what the other council's intentions are in Suffolk, but also that the county council's intention is to reconfigure the MRF. And it's to reconfigure the MRF to accept both a commingled material and a twin stream material within separate bays. But then later on, as a reason for not choosing the commingled option, it's listed that it's not a bad option because we wouldn't be able to process it at the Blakenham MRF and we'd have to bulk haul it to London. So I don't quite understand. We're being pushed down the twin stream option because of things that they don't quite make sense within the report. So if I could have any answers on that. And I've got a couple of other points. Do we realistically as a council, this is more of a government thing really, expect, I can see that there's going to be a charge on packaging, on companies that make packaging. But for that charge to be enough to cover the costs for most of these councils for these extra costs, that would have to be huge. Do we expect this realistically ongoing to cover our costs? And that will do for me for the time being, but I might have to come back. Thank you.
I don't know if Mr. Fairclough would like to come in on that, those points. Hannah?
Yeah, if I can just comment on the first point. I think the main consideration with regards to the recommendation is the fact that it meets the government default requirements that are coming forward. So that's one of the key aspects that was considered with regards to the recommendation coming forward. Also the fact that it's got lower projected costs for processing the material and a higher value commodity. So there's several different aspects that kind of made up the recommendation that comes forward. The fact that it will be the same and in line with what the other local authorities are also going with, obviously is an additional factor that's now been taken into account. So it wasn't one factor alone based upon the other local authorities, but several factors that seem to weigh quite highly against this option. Okay, I think with regards to the configuration of the MRF, Chris was just going to come in.
Yeah, so with specifics to 2.37, the decision hasn't yet been made, but that outlines the decisions that need to be made. So depending on the outcome today, the County Council will have to make a decision as to whether they reconfigure the MRF for a co-mingled material and a twin stream material, or whether they process containers. So the 2.37 is outlining the decisions that they'll need to make, but it does it is centred around what the delivering districts will be delivering into the facility.
And from my point of view, section 2.6, on the 29th of November, we got a letter from the government basically telling us that we had to have twin stream. It's very difficult to get out of it now. So we had, you know, followed a co-mingled option for some time, but the government have put it in black and white what we should be doing, and that's what we will be following. And I had a couple of other hands. Councillor Trenchard.
Thank you. Yes, I think certainly from sort of a climate change perspective, that's been my sort of remit, I certainly think that twin stream makes sense all round. It's a sort of a win-win because we are actually going to end up with less processing. Co-mingling would mean that a whole load of stuff would end up being shipped off to Great Blake and not processed there, but ending up being bulk hauled elsewhere, which is more carbon emissions. And I think sort of, if you like, the other aspects are the cost benefits in terms of the recoverable materials being less likely to be contaminated. So we actually, back to what Hannah Lays has said, we get a far better commodity price for that. And at the end of the day, we are, as a council, I think, needing to be mindful of the fact that we are looking at cost benefits. So from my perspective, it's not only climate, it's cost. And fewer trips as well. Fewer trips to the tip.
Thank you.
So I'm very much in favour of the twin cycling.
Did you indicate, Councillor Cook?
I haven't.
You did not, right? I thought.
I did.
Bryony, Councillor Rudkin.
As somebody who's just been to the tip, which is why I'm wearing my sunglasses, because I came out of the house distracted because I was going to the tip, I feel seen, as they say. I think this what's proposed here is good. I think it came to me in a moment of clarity that, you know, in particular, we need to keep two weekly collections, because collecting stuff less doesn't mean actually that people change their behaviours. They just get more cross with you, is what I would suggest. And if we actually want behaviour change, which is a different thing, which is around, you know, people reusing, recycling and so on, that's different. And the food experiment, the food change will be interesting, because I experimented with it and checked in the course of a week how much food that we wasted, and we compost at home, and it wasn't very much, right? And there's only two of us, and, you know, we eat nearly everything off our plate. So but I think it's that kind of showing people where behaviour change is necessary, and not sort of forcing them into something different, which isn't behaviour change. It just means collecting their stuff more less frequently. It actually conflates the wrong thing. So I can see that this is good. Single change in my life will be collection of glass, because I think that's the thing that I constantly drive around town like a mad woman and I'm lucky to have the space to store it. And if you live in somewhere as small, you know, small properties, you don't have anywhere to change it. So that'll be transformational, I think. Thank you. I'll put my glasses back on now.
I thought I'd just because you were a film star. Councillor Fisher.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So I will start off by saying that I am in favour of this. It will be, you know, it's excellent to see that there's going to be more recycling going on. The glass thing, I agree with Councillor Rudkin, is a really good thing, curbside glass recycling, that's for sure. I suppose, again, I'll say my only exposure to this is the report I read. So if it is not decided that the council is going to reconfigure it for these both things, then perhaps the report should have said that, because the report clearly states that it's the county council's intention that the MRF is going to be reconfigured to take both. It doesn't say it's a decision that will be taken after the districts have made their decisions. It states that this is what's going to happen. So that's one of the reasons why I've based all my thinking around, oh, the county's going to provide this service. If it's not going to provide this service, then perhaps we shouldn't have put that in there. And I suppose the biggest concern for this is, and I know this is the government default position, but I also know that there is an opportunity to not choose this option. I suppose I'm concerned that this is a service that we operate on for the public to collect the to collect the waste, and who is it actually benefiting? Everything, I don't disagree with anything that anybody said, so it will be, it looks like it will be better for the environment, it might be slightly better for the council as far as costs are concerned, but I believe a lot of those are going to be covered anyway by a packaging tax which will be paid for by the public because prices will go up. Is this a better service for the public? Because will this not mean that some households have five bins in their garden? Using this co-mingling option, they'll have an extra smaller bin for food. If you've kept your brown bin, they'll have the brown bin, then they'll have two dry recycling bins as well. I'm guessing they'll probably be a similar size. So I'm perhaps a little bit concerned that we're focusing on ourselves and the council's operation rather than perhaps, and I know this isn't down to us to put it out to consultation, that would have been a government thing, but I suppose I'm, you know, I think people complain already that they have got, that they've got three bins with five bins. Is five bins manageable for many properties in the town? Will we end up with a situation where we're having to give bags to some places, as it states in here, bags to some places, boxes to some places, so is it going to be a different option? Is it going to become confusing? They're my points to raise. They're points to raise rather than, you know, we should be focusing on this. I'm not necessarily against the twin stream option, but it does, but it does seem as though we're just being pushed down that way to benefit ourselves rather than the public. I'm not too sure the public would agree. I don't know that, but that's only my thoughts. Thank you.
So we pursued the co-mingled option as long as we could, but the government have told us that you must move to twin stream, basically. I do recognise that will be a problem in parts of Old Stoke, for example, and other parts of the town where there are terraced houses, close-packed terraced housing, who open up onto the street. It won't be very pretty. Mr Fairclough, if you wish to come in.
If nobody objects, I was going to try and clarify the question about 2.37 perhaps in a different way, if that's okay. So I think what you're referring to, Councillor Fisher, is 2.37A that's talking about the MRF being reconfigured to accept both a co-mingled material and a twin stream material. What the better explanation for that is that 2.37A talks about it being reconfigured to accept those in separate tipping bays within the facility tipping hall. So what that allows is either a twin stream material or a co-mingled material to actually be delivered, and there will be some co-mingled material still being collected around Suffolk because some commercial waste will be still be collected as a commercial waste. Then what 2.37 that paragraph is trying to do is in B it says process only the container stream from the twin stream material. So that's what the MRF would process internally. Load the paper and card stream from the twin stream material onto bulk haulage to be processed in alternate facilities. That's why there'd be a different configured tipping bay for that material. That would stay that would stay separate and be loaded back out. And the same in subsection D, where it talks about load the co-mingled co-collected stream onto bulk haulage to be processed in alternate facilities. So the intention of the introduction of that paragraph was that the MRF is configured to accept all the materials, but it will only process the container stream. The other stream that we collected in the second mixed recycling bin from Ipswich residents, if executive resolved to do this, would be loaded up and processed anywhere else. And any commingled material that we collected, which in the main will be from commercial premises, would again be loaded back onto bulk haulage and taken away from that facility. So that facility will only, the intention is it will only be processing the container stream. Does that help?
Thanks. Yes, it does help, but it kind of like disputes one of the main things, you know, one of the big things has been Councillor Trenchard has mentioned that all be you know, less emissions if we do this, there'll be, it'll be better for the environment, but it won't, because you're going to be bulk, the MRF is going to be bulk hauling co-mingled waste to a North London facility anyway from the commercial waste, so it won't be better for the environment. You can write it down as, if they're already going to be taking commercial waste to a processing facility in North London, then I would say that it's better that is full rather than half empty with the thing. But I get your point. Thank you very much. It is well explained. I get maybe one option that isn't mentioned here, because at the moment, so I live on my own, so I don't need larger size bins. Are we going to offer the option? Because if there is perhaps one way to counter this, obviously currently we do, there are smaller bins that you can have. I think they're about half size, I think. Are we going to potentially offer that? We have other meetings where we discuss housing, and there's an increasing number of single-person households around. So could a smaller bin option, if we're looking at purchasing these things now, be an option? I'm guessing it would be cheaper for us to purchase. There'd probably be quite a lot of households that would take up. So, for example, if you were asking me, I would say, yeah, okay, I'll have two smaller blue bins rather than two larger blue bins. Could save money, could save processing time, could be something that we could look at, which will perhaps then reduce the impact that it has on people storing them at home, because I believe the food waste thing is going to be smaller as well. That's only a 23 litre one, isn't it, the food waste one? So we just end up with three smaller bins rather than two massive great huge ones, because I'm guessing there'll be less waste, you know, we'll be putting less waste in there because there's we'll be separating it more, so maybe that's something we could consider. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Carol Jones.
Thank you, Chair. I take Councillor Fisher's point about the number of bins or how we collect, especially when we look at 2.27, which gives us the broad breakdown of housing types in Ipswich, where 47% of homes are terraced or flats. So, you know, that won't be new to Mrs. Lees and Mr. Taylor and our team, and also it cannot be a particularly unusual list of proportions. That would, I imagine, be quite common for towns and cities of our size and perhaps larger. So I imagine, you know, you and the team will be going away to look at ways in which the collection of the twin stream can be made more manageable for residents who are least able to just shove four bins in the garden or whatever. And the other thing is, I mean, as regards the neighbouring authorities, I don't know whether I'm overemphasizing this in my own mind, but I would have thought with LGR up ahead, our processes and choices being in alignment with those of our neighboring authorities is really quite important. Otherwise, in whatever configuration LGR falls, they will be having this very same discussion 3 years down the line. So I think it's quite important that the Suffolk Waste Partnership comes to an agreement that they're all going along with. But perhaps I'm getting that wrong.
Have we got an update on the Suffolk Waste Partnership view?
Yeah, I think just with regards to that general point, it is a very, very good point, which obviously when we first started looking at the options wasn't on the table. So I think, yeah, definitely correct in terms of bringing that forward. I think the other point with regards to the number of premises, just picking up on the number of terrace and flats, it is definitely something that's been recognised. So we're discussing it quite widely as a group, also sharing those views with the Suffolk Waste Partnership. Chris and the team have been doing an awful lot of work with other authorities also that have already implemented, where they've got bagged schemes, boxes. So for different reasons, we've ruled out different alternatives, but we're definitely trying to learn from others that have already implemented this rather than kind of starting from scratch. So there's an awful lot of work at the moment, and we are currently undertaking a piece of work where we're trying to establish those streets and areas and specifically highlighting those so that we can get the numbers established in terms of what we'll need.
Chair, I just think that's very reassuring. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cook?
I was coming in to respond on one of Councillor Fisher's early contributions, but he sort of answered it himself in his subsequent one. I agree with him, you know, make smaller households go to smaller bin sizes can be part of the solution. And I also suggest that smaller households, you know, sort of smaller, more modestly sized homes with smaller gardens are probably more likely to give them a brown bin as well.
Okay. Any other points or comments? Questions? Can we move to the recommendations, please? Which are in section 14. So we need to, I presume we need to do 14.2 before the rest. So do we authorise the head of Waste and Fleet to implement twin-streamed mixed recycling along with fortnightly residual waste? All those in favour? Councillor Fisher, not in favour. And then subject to 14.2, we have another set of recommendations. And the question is, I'm going to suggest that we accept 14.5 rather than 14.6, so we delegate the authorisation to the officers. All those in favour? Councillor Fisher is in favour of that. Okay. Thank you very much. The next item is Scrutiny Task and Finish Group Town Centre Cleanliness Report, which I will take in Councillor Smart's absence. So I report that the scrutiny committee did task and finish group, small number of people who had a look at the cleanliness of the town centre, and they have come back and said it is pretty clean. I'm just going to pick up a few points out of the paper here. The stats are, of course, fantastic. You know, 34 people, 16 vehicles, operating 365, 24-hour call-out. And, you know, the big numbers, 44,000 litter bin empties, 728 tonnes of litter. You know, obviously, I do remember sweeping up after the football club were promoting. Obviously, there's, you know, piles of rubbish strewn across the centre of Ipswich, but yet a day later it was all fantastic, and you know, tons of glass had been collected, which I hope was recycled in a good way. I'll also note in 2.7 that the street cleansing team has been nominated as finalists by the Association of Public Sector Excellence in the last 2 years, which is a great tribute to the amount of hard work and effort they put in. And also they picked up in 2.8 a Keep Britain Tidy Award for the bins work. And again, I think that just shows that we're trying to be innovative, trying to get out there and bring in other things that will help keep the town tidy, including being one of 8 councils that have a chewing gum removal machine. So another claim to fame for us. But I'm pleased to see the number of staff. 7 staff are working over 15 hours in the day up in the town centre, and I do think in terms that it is very clean. I was up there today, and that there were bits of rubbish around, I have to say, but I have been up there in other days where it is spotless and immaculate. I just think there's maybe more young people around this week because it's half term. But in general, I think the town centre is very clean, I have to say. So in the recommendations here from the Task and Finish Group, there are 8 recommendations, and all of them have an action taken against them. So there has been an influence from the scrutiny committee and the team at Grafton House have looked into it, but the recommendation is that we will note the report. So have we got any comments or queries on this? Councillor Jones, I saw first.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Chair. I mean, I walk through the town centre a lot, and I have said this before, but I am invariably impressed and sort of slightly astounded by how clean a busy place is. Most of the time of days I walk through, it can be first thing in the morning. Well, that's first thing in the morning for me, not for our teams of waste staff. We're out there from 6 in the morning, I believe, and 5 in the morning. I mean, they do an amazing job. I'll be walking home now. It will be clean. And I would like this committee, this executive committee, to note our appreciation of the excellent work done by every member of the waste team in keeping the town centre clean. I think they are a credit to the council, and I think we should agree to that, and I would like you to write it down somewhere, and Chris, and convey it to them, because they do so well. I stop and have a chat with them invariably, you know, and I just think they do a really, really good job, and we're lucky to have them under, I've no doubt, your excellent management.
Thank you. Councillor Rodkin.
Thank you. It was just to say the same thing, and at 2.11 is the reference to starting at 5 o'clock in the morning. The team of 7, I remember chatting to some of them during COVID, you know, when you're walking around, and some of the things they have to combat. So I remember one of those chats, it was about, you know, the seagulls that are the perennial problem that can get into bins and attack things. I saw a seagull once having a go at one of the bins in Cromwell Square, and it was a very impressive move by the gull, but, you know, obviously led to more mess. So I think they do a great job. Not everything is necessarily in humans' control, and certainly wind and the town centre is as blighted as anywhere by the way that the wind picks it up. But they do a fantastic job, the team that we have got. And, you know, that after the football thing was a really good example of when people who know what they're doing, you know, they knew exactly what to do in order to clean it and to make it safe and appealing for everybody. So I'd like to add my thanks to them as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Fisher.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's quite important to note, I have noted what's been said, obviously, by yourself and by the other councillors before me. And this isn't me dismissing anybody's work. I don't believe the town centre is that bad. It's, you know, I've seen worse, much worse. But I think it is important to note that if it was perhaps as rosy, and I think sometimes this is the importance of things like these task and finish groups. The task and finish group wasn't set up because the scrutiny committee thought, I tell you what, this is a really good, it's really clean, it's really brilliant, we do a really good job, so let's do a task and finish into it to see if we're doing a really good job. They did it for reasons, and it's mentioned down there now. A lot of it might be perception, so it is good to see that we're looking to tackle some of that perception. But the reason this came on the agenda in the first place is because a lot of the councillors on that committee had contact with residents to say that they didn't think it was clean. So regardless of what we think, and this is perhaps the same when we talk about crime and things like that, it is important for us to represent what the public think. So I do think some of the points in here about education and everything like that is quite good. One thing I did notice in here that was not mentioned, I'm not saying omitted, it was not mentioned, enforcement was mentioned a couple of times in there. Am I right in thinking that we're going to be moving to a different enforcement method? Well, have I seen that at some point in the close past where we're going to contract out our enforcement to a third party? I just thought that, that because it wasn't mentioned in here, and I thought this would have been an opportunity to mention it, that maybe that wasn't happening anymore. So just some clarification on that, please. Thank you.
So that's not the scope of this paper, of course. And I think this paper was focused on town centre cleanliness, and I think there are other bits of the town that are perhaps less clean than the town centre. Do you want to come in on that?
James can update you, Chair.
James, please. Councillor Fitt.
As a reminder, Executive resolved as part of the budget delivery plan back in September for officers to look into the possibility of a contract for waste enforcement. That is underway, and as and when we have more information available, we'll bring that back for executive consideration.
Thank you. Councillor Cook, John Cook.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. I fully take on board what Councillor Fisher says. As one of the councillors who represents the town centre, I know the challenges there are. You know, there's a lot of people use the town centre. A minority of those are selfish and unlawful people who will throw their rubbish around, and it's the job of some of our staff to try and catch them doing that and to bring actions against them. And there are also amongst the many responsible businesses who deal with their waste responsibly, a proportion of irresponsible businesses who try and duck the costs of processing their waste in a legal and appropriate basis, and create problems which we have to tackle. I know the officers who go out and do that work and sometimes have to sift through sacks of rubbish to try and find evidence of amongst other putrid matter to try and bring prosecutions, and obviously we do already take action against those who we can identify initially with penalty charge notices, and then if they do not cooperate with us, that's followed up with taking them through the criminal courts, because these people are criminals. They won't assume themselves as criminals, but it's criminal behaviour, and they'll be dealt with through the courts. And any changes which Mr. Fairclough referred to, the aim of those changes, as well as from a financial point of view, is to actually have, any changes need to improve the service and make our town cleaner in future. And they do a good job of, I report probably as much as anyone in the town centre, because it's my ward, and they are pretty quick on the whole of getting out there and clearing up a mess when it's identified.
Thank you for that. Any further questions or points? So the recommendations that we note, the recommendations of Strategic Review and Scrutiny Committee, and also we're going to, Executive, would like to pass on its thanks to the team who are working hard in the town centre, and possibly if we'd extend our thanks to the people who are dealing with the putrid matter as well. Thank you. Item 7. Response to government consultation on the Norfolk and Suffolk devolution. So I feel I've been living this for months and months, and post-Easter we'll get some feedback from the government, and we'll be at it again. There'll be a lot more work on this. But essentially this is the devolution consultation rather than the local government review, local government reorganisation. Consultation. So this is the official response of Ipswich Borough Council to the 7 questions that are posed to us. I just want to bless you. I just want to pick up on a couple of the questions, the first two in fact, which are about reminding people about the Mayoral Combined County Authority, which will be set up in shadow form in the autumn, and that, as it's legally constituted, will only include the county councils, and we think it is very important that the district councils of Suffolk and Norfolk are represented on the MCCA to ensure that our voice is not forgotten. And also it's important that we have equal representation between Suffolk and Norfolk, so one of the counties is not the poor relation of the other. And often We often Suffolk is seen as a poorer nation. We certainly don't want to be there at that space. We should be equal partners on the MCCA. And we seem to agree with everything the government is asking us to do, which is perhaps not always the case. Are there any comments or questions, queries? Councillor Fisher.
Thanks, Chair. Just to congratulate whoever did the answers, really, for managing to squeeze in as many references to Ipswich, Greater Ipswich, and the LGR as they possibly could within those within the answers, which I think are all relevant answers, and I probably agree with all of them. But yeah, great congratulations on managing to squeeze them in on the mayoral combined authority. Thank you.
Councillor Cook, Martin Cook this time.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And it's just really to sort of emphasise this point that you made about poor relations and the answer to question one. You know, if this was any other kind of authority that we were talking about, there would be a requirement enforced by the Boundary Committee to ensure that people in all areas were equally represented. And I think that even though they won't oversee this particular aspect of the process, you know, we should all expect that that should be a requirement of the setup as well. And it is the case that Norfolk and Suffolk are roughly equal in population, and if we don't wind up as equal partners in this process, if we end up something like 3 in Norfolk and 2 in Suffolk, then that would be a significant underrepresentation of people in Suffolk, and so it has to be an equal partnership basis, I feel. And it's also worth remembering that the only reason that Norfolk is a tiny bit bigger than Suffolk is because they've pinched bits of Suffolk over the years around Thetford and then in Lothingland, and if they gave those back, we'd be pretty much exactly the same size. I'm not suggesting they should give them back, but we need to be equal partners in this.
Councillor Wadkin.
Just to say, and I know I'm holding Councillor John Cook back from getting on the train to Norfolk as I speak, so I'll continue. Just saying. I went to the event last week at the Novotel when they came to give the presentation, enlivened by the burning car outside, so that was interesting. We could observe the excellent work of the fire service. There was an attendance from people from Norfolk as well who didn't seem to have minded coming to Ipswich, and one of the councillors had bought a load of records in a shop, so that was good, an independent shop, and that was referenced, but there seemed to me to be a healthy respect for both. But I agree with Councillor Fisher that we've managed to crowbar as many references as we can to ourselves into that, so I think that's good. That's good to hear. And we look forward to the rest of this journey, Leader.
Thank you. So can we move to the recommendations at 14.1? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. And that's it. Thank you very much, and have a safe journey home.